What a blessed way of joy in our hearts and songs to the Lord to begin this new day in the church year calendar. It's the season of Advent, of preparing ourselves and getting ready for Christ's coming, but also celebrating as we look in Advent both to our past, we look backwards, we look to the future, and of course at our present time. And in all those moments of church history and the repeating church season, we always find Jesus breaking into the world to make us blameless and holy. He breaks into our every moment. He breaks into our valleys of sadness. He breaks into our prideful moments when we think we don't need him anymore. He breaks into our distractions. He breaks into our most desperate times and says, I am here. I am the God who is with you. Advent looks backward initially at the first Christmas, the one we're all familiar with in this time of year, as Jesus broke into the world being born a child in Bethlehem. And as you saw in our gospel reading, he also one day in the past, as we look backwards, broke into Jerusalem as that coming king, riding on a donkey to the shouts of, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus breaks into so many moments of history. In fact, he was there at the beginning of time, helping the Father and the Holy Spirit put this universe together. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's right. The Word of Jesus Christ himself was there as we look into the past. But we also look into the future. We have to always look forward in our preparations for Jesus, because they promised not only would he come in the future to Bethlehem, if you're a prophet in the Old Testament, we have many prophecies talking about how he will come again on the last day, the day of judgment, a day of reconciliation and accounting. And so we look forward to Jesus breaking back into the world, into history, on that last day when Jesus returns on Judgment Day. We hear about this in another part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says this, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. These are words of hope. He's reminding us that Easter was real, that Christ will come back, and that we will be risen again. And we know this, right? Because the good news is Jesus rose from the grave, but even more good news, so will I. Never lose sight of that. That is part of our Easter and Christmas and Advent and Lent and joy all year, that we have the one King who came to conquer death for us. And so we look back. But we also look forward to that one day when Jesus comes back to us. He made that promise. We hear this so often in funerals, that where I go, I will come back to take you to be with me. What a wonderful personal promise of Jesus. He'll come back one day in unveiled glory. And it says, as he promised, he will raise up the dead and lift up the living. It's going to be a wonderful, glorious moment, not a scary moment for those who trust in Jesus as their Savior, because we don't have him as our judge. We have him as our victor, our advocate on that day of judgment. When God no longer sees the sins that were a part of our life, he sees the perfect life of Jesus standing in our place, because all will go in front of that judgment throne. There will only be sheep or goats, but we are assured that every knee will bow. Every despot or king or ruler or peasant who rejected Jesus as their Lord, their knee will bow right next to ours. And for now, with all that said, we are living in Advent. And not just Advent in December. Advent is all year long. Advent is every time we come to church and worship, every Sunday when we celebrate Christ coming to us in his word and in his sacrament and in his many promises. We live in this Advent season from the time of Jesus' ascension to that last day of judgment. And the call is the same as it was for Adam and Eve and from the prophets and from the apostles, that in this Advent life we live, stay ready. Be watchful, be prepared, stay ready for that coming of Jesus, for his return, because those who are not ready will quite literally have hell to pay. This is serious when he says stay ready. He doesn't want you to fall away from that saving faith. And that's why we hear in that second reading, and we should think of him as Pastor Paul. Paul, who came into the apostles in a unique way, being knocked off his high horse, so to speak, given a humble moment to sit and learn about who this Jesus is, what Christian faith is about that he once persecuted. He now becomes Pastor Paul, and he's concerned about the church in Thessalonica because at one point Paul was with them, and he was teaching and proclaiming to them that saving truth of life and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that there was a merciful God who walked this earth. And around that gospel message grew, out of these home gatherings, this wonderful new young church in Thessalonica, around the gospel. But Paul was forced to flee the city, as so often he has to keep on the run. And while he's away, he worries. He has that pastoral heart about what's going on in this new young church now that it's on its own. He worries that they'll fall away. That they'll fall away for the same reasons that people fell away in the Old Testament, in Sodom and Gomorrah, with wicked kings, with wicked hearts, because the world is full of persecution, false teaching, and unholy living. And he knew that was surrounding that church that was just growing from the seeds of the gospel. And so in his concern, Pastor Paul sends up-and-coming Pastor Timothy, a young guy, and he wants to get a report back. So they're not looking for Timothy while Paul is on the run. So Timothy goes back to Thessalonica, and he gives a report that just lifts Paul's heart. He says, the church is alive and well, that the gospel still lives here, Paul. You can rejoice, and he's overjoyed. Paul doesn't know how to give enough thanks to God that their faith is still alive, that they are learning about the gospel message, never getting tired, but always hungry for more of who was this Jesus born in Bethlehem? Who was this Jesus who was prophesied by our prophets or by those who tell us that this was a special birth, a king born among men unlike any other king? The gospel thrived and their faith grew because they stayed connected to that gospel hope. But Paul is worried. Even with that good news, thinking about all the churches that he's been to, either started or visited, because they are living in the times of Advent like we are. And he is hoping that these new Christians in Thessalonica are staying ready for Jesus, staying ready like we do when a baby is about to be born. You know, whether you're in the first, second, or third trimester, we tend to have different degrees of preparedness, but we never stop being prepared and anticipating in 8 or 9 months, this child is coming into the world. The prophecy is told, the bump is showing, the baby is soon to be here, because 9 months goes by like that. Amen, parents? You think it's day one, but all of a sudden it's, you know, month nine. And you have to be ready and prepared by staying ready. It's not like a one-time thing. Okay, we got the room all made, and the baby's going to come, and we're all set. There's nothing to do. You know, we got a couple packages of diapers. Can't buy the, you know, baby food right away, but you're constantly talking about this coming baby. People are constantly asking you, are you going to name it? Is it a boy or a girl? You know, what are your plans? Even if it's your second, third, fifth born, when the baby is coming, you stay ready. But Paul's looking at this young church, knowing that they're up against a lot. And it's no different than how pastors feel today, who still are concerned about their flock, worry about the people, especially when your pastors see that people can be so far away. Pastors worry when people avoid the very body of Christ, when they are absent, when our youth are off to college or in the military. Your pastors worry. Because we know it's the same world out there as it was for those in Thessalonica. It is a world full of persecution, false teaching, and unholy living. Pastors worry for their people because there's a great abundance of false teaching, a twisting of the Christian message. Sadly, it hasn't changed since Adam and Eve in the garden when Satan said, "Did God really mean what you think he said? Because I don't think it means what you think he said." That constantly is out there against the Christian gospel, the truth of salvation in Jesus. And over history, it's been polluted or watered down or changed, and that doesn't stop today. False teaching is perhaps Satan's best trick beyond unholy living, is that he gets you to believe something is right and sweet, like an apple or a forbidden fruit about God, but inside is the poison. All he needs you to do is bite it once for the poison to take its effect, to change that Christian message. Think about it. How often do you hear in Hollywood or even modern day preachers on TV where Jesus is transformed from Savior to just a really good friend who's along the ride with you? Jesus is transformed from Lord to coach, a life coach. He's from sacrifice changed into an illustration, an object lesson on holy living, moral living. He's just now a moral life coach. And that is a twisting of who Jesus really is as the suffering servant born to die and save men's souls. Churches today are watering down that message, a watered down slope to hollowness. And they try to be all things to all people without offense. Don't give them a Jesus or a God that offends their sensibilities or their political correctness. But you know what? Jesus is an offense, isn't he? Because his message of why he came to save you is because you're a sinner. You're broken. You're lost. You're dead to him. You're an enemy of God. That's offensive to hear. That's not the Christmas message people come to hear in church. The fluffy, warm, light, glowing message of a baby born in hay. This baby would grow up to save your soul. Because your soul is lost, like a lost sheep, without him. The message of the gospel is offensive from the world's point of view. Jesus' very life shows you to be a sinner in need of healing and salvation. And Jesus' death happens because you are helpless in your sin. Again, that's not the Christmas message people are hoping and wanting to hear. And this is why pastors worry. Because if our children grow up not knowing the true story, like Adam and Eve, they'll settle for any story that sounds good to their itching ears. And that's why pastors worry. And the message that we've been hearing the last few Sundays at the end of the church year and now the beginning of Advent is be prepared, stay ready. And what's that mean? I mean, has a pastor, have they told you yet how to stay ready and be prepared other than just be prepared? I mean, that sounds good in the generic. But it starts about how you're connected in life. And yesterday at the funeral, Pastor-elect Jim Frusty was reminding the family with great comfort that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And if you're not connected to the vine of Jesus, you wither, you die, and without hope. Are you familiar with the phrase WWJD? It was popular probably 10 years ago and for a 3-year window in Hallmark. What does it stand for? Yeah, what would Jesus do? It's catchy, it's a little pithy. What would Jesus do? Ironically, we have our plaque of what would Jesus do in the bathroom hanging on the wall. So I get to think of that quite often. But it's a very simple truth to that. In order to know what Jesus would do, you got to know what? You got to know Jesus. And to be prepared is all about being connected to the vine of Jesus, knowing Jesus through that prophecy, through his promise, and through his purpose in your life. Because the prophecies of old were, Jesus is coming. And guess what? Jesus did come. He was born in Bethlehem. He did enter Jerusalem as king, and he died as servant and lamb. But he also, on Easter morning, he breathed in that first breath, and he woke up as the Lion of Judah, the Savior of all. Jesus did come. So you have to know Jesus through the prophecy of who was he supposed to be. And then the promise that Jesus gave is that he came to make you blameless and holy. His message was not about miracles and a life of grandeur and glory. It was to take your sorry sack of sinful life and make you blameless and holy and forgiven. Not by your good works or good looks, but by the merciful blood that he would shed for you at the cross. That is the promise that the prophecy talked about. And now you know purpose in your life. To know Jesus is to know the prophecy and the teaching of Jesus as Messiah, to know the promises that were kept and what Jesus said himself, but now to pour that into the purpose of God in your life is still to make you blameless and holy. One who has been forgiven much and can go into the world with your purpose of forgiving and showing that same mercy as you love God and love your neighbor. Amen? That's how you stay prepared. Loving God, loving your neighbor, because you know you've been forgiven and loved much. Therefore, you will go out and forgive and love much in your families, with your spouse, with your children, with your employer, with the stranger, with the hungry, with the homeless, with the lonely, with the hurting and the helpless. You give them the hope because you are the light of Christ in this world. That is your purpose because you know the mercy and grace of God. That's what staying prepared is. That's what they had to do since Adam and Eve, from the Old and New Testament, in these Advent times we live in. That is staying prepared, knowing what Jesus would do because you know Jesus. Paul talked about filling the gaps of your faith. Are we doing that not only with our children in Sunday school, but with ourselves? Are we staying connected to the prophecies and the promises and the purpose of a God in our life because we come to his word and sacrament and not just to the worship of the king? There were a lot of people on Palm Sunday laying out the palm branches. Hey, we got a king. It's all going to be great. No more taxes or whatever they had in their mind. The wrong understanding because they didn't know what Jesus was about. They didn't know the prophecy. They didn't understand the promises. They were thinking about what are the gifts this new Santa Claus, so to speak, king would give me. But when you know who Jesus was and who he was meant to be and who he is for you day in and day out, then you will know what would Jesus do. You will fill in the gaps of your faith because you're growing and you're letting that faith stay alive by nourishing it like the people in Thessalonica did. That's what takes the worry off your pastor's heart, knowing that you're staying close to the vine of Jesus Christ. Because we worry, we do, whether our people, the folks and children that we are raising in God's word will be ready on that judgment day, on that last day, to trust in Jesus as their Savior from sin, to look to Christ alone for your hope day in and day out. The good news is that in all our Advent seasons, Jesus will break into our world every day, every Sunday, every time we put ourselves in his presence. And we will still sing with the angels, glory, glory in the highest. We will cry out with the people of Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we are thankful that Jesus broke into the world at Bethlehem and in Jerusalem, and more importantly, in your baptism, personally breaking into your heart of stone, making it a heart of flesh, and giving you that gift of faith. He breaks into the world then one day, on that last day, to take us home, to give us our true citizenship in heaven, and that we will say, blessed is the King who comes, who has saved me and delivers me. And I thank God that you continue in that saving faith. For the world, year after year, Christmas so often is just a game of pretend, isn't it? And they offer a peace that doesn't really exist by the world's standards of Christmas. But we are a people of hope, and Christmas is our life itself. So in this season of Advent, prepare your hearts again. Stay connected to that vine. Fill in the gaps of your faith. Celebrate the joy of Christ who comes to you through prophecy and the promises fulfilled in your life and giving you purpose to love God and others for the sake of the mercy you've been once given. And let us embrace the child who embraces us. Amen? Amen. God's peace and strength does go with you. Enjoy it. Advent is a wonderful life to live. In Jesus' name, you are a blessed people. And watch, he'll bless your socks off. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up with open hearts and come to the Lord in prayer.